Welcome, fellow acolytes, on this beautiful Saturday morning. I am your fellow Sith Lord, Ty, and here with me, as always, is...
I'm Kaylee. Did you say it's Saturday morning?
What day is it?
It's Saturday. Okay. It's 6:40 in the evening.
Well, shit. All right. Anyway, wow. Here with me, as always, is...
Kaylee. Yes. Hi there.
Yes. Anyway, we're going to zoom right through this and zoom through this chapter. We are a podcast that talks about the minutiae of all things Star Wars, chapter by chapter, episode by episode, comic book runs by issue.
Wow, that was a tongue twister.
Run as fast as you can. You can't catch me. I'm the gingerbread man. Not the gumdrop buttons. Anyway, before we get started, you should follow us on Twitter and Instagram at WayfinderPod. You can also...
And TikTok.
Well, I'm not there yet.
My bad.
But you can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at WayfinderPod. You can also find us on YouTube at WayfinderPod as well. Since we do chapter by chapters for this podcast, we don't necessarily review the books. We just review the information. So you can find me over on YouTube doing that. If you want to leave a donation, you can do that, or you can buy our stuff. There's going to be links. The official artisan for the podcast is Why Not Stuff, and Augusto Denise did our music. So with that being said, welcome to the High Republic.
Centuries before the rise of the Empire, prosperity, pioneering, and adventure marked the era of the High Republic.
Chapter 26, Salvation Class Republic Medical Frigate, Panacea. Pages 206 to 214. This chapter starts off with, "I'm uncomfortable with this, Master." And no, it's not a finger up the butt.
Oh my god.
Flashback.
Okay, so this chapter, okay, we have Bariaga. We have... Bariaga.
Okay.
Did I say it weird?
No, it just sounded Bariaga.
Bariaga.
Okay.
Bariaga? Is it Bariaga?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I call him.
Bariaga.
I've just never heard Bariaga. It's fascinating. That's fine. Continue, please.
It's like a library.
It's like a potato.
Oh, my.
Anyway, continue.
It's a tater, all right? So in this chapter, we have Bariaga, Nib Asik, we have Joss and Pekka Adrin. Now, the last time we've seen these people was a long time ago. I'll get to it in a second. But as of this chapter, and I think this is the last chapter we really see, Bariaga, right? I believe it is, if I remember correctly. This is the last time we see Joss and Adra.
Been a while.
Adra, no. Anyway, but up until this point, okay, how many chapters do you think Joss and Adra have been in?
Two.
Joss and Pekka. Adrin.
Two.
Including this chapter?
This would be three.
We're at number four.
Oh, I'm so close.
I know. So they, this group of people showed up in chapter 7, chapter 10, and then also...
I was forgetting the chapter after the interlude.
And then again, chapter 15. No. I'm not counting the one after the interlude. Because were they in that?
No, or was that Kaventar?
It was Kaventar. Because anyway, the last time we saw Joss and Pekka Adrin was chapter 15. And that was the chapter where they used the Egyrian silk mag clamps to stop an anomaly from hitting the Fruited Moon, if I remember that correctly. But in that chapter, we also had Te'ami, and we also had Mikkel Sutmani, which we do not see in chapter 26.
No, but we do get some Mikkel Sutmani in The Rising Storm.
Ooh.
Anyway, so a brief overview of this chapter, really quick, really fluid. This is Buriaga's anxiety come to life. He's not very good at social situations. As a matter of fact, he's not very good with any situations. We saw the last chapter in which they saved these civilians in this this compartment, that he's not a very good communicator, but he understands feelings. So here, what we see is we see him going through the motions and the anxiety, trapped are compartmentalized in a very, very small room where he runs into a particular child. And the child that Buriaga runs into, Buriaga calms this child, and the child tells him some information about the Legacy Run. Well, how could he know about the Legacy Run?
Well, he was on it.
That's the kicker. What's this kid's name?
His name is Surge, and we saw Surge...
Chapter 1.
Back in Chapter 1, specifically on page 11, where he was just goofing off with his friends, and he was joking around with Captain Hedda Cassett. Basically, he wanted to get into age-restricted titles and archives.
What the hell was that? But yes, Hedda Cassett said, no, you don't. But what we do learn is that at the very end of this chapter, we learn specifically what he sees doing the little prank that he does.
Well, and I'm kind of confused about this in itself because it says that... So... How did he see it if he was in the system of the Legacy Run?
Hold on. It says, it's all my fault. I was slicing into the bridge systems because Captain Cassett thought she was so smart. I wanted to show her she didn't know as much as she thought. I was going to put a holovid up on the bridge screens, but right when I got in, I saw, and then the ship ripped apart, and I was in Compartment 8. My mom and dad were in Compartment 12. Because he's rambling about like all the traumatic stuff he's been through. Get over it, Serge.
So he was trying to put up a movie basically on the bridge. Is that like the controlling the whole starship?
Well, no. I think that's just like
a like the visual. Room that Hedda Cassett was in.
Because imagine it like. Well, I don't know why this is popping up into my head, but when Jyn Erso's at Saw Gerrera's hideout.
Okay.
And Galen with his holo. It's like that, but a video. Because it says here at the bottom of...
So Serge was trying to put that in, like, the what is the bridge, though? The bridge is...
The bridge is where the captain is.
Okay, so
think
that's
of it
I'm
as, like, Captain James T. Kirk.
Okay,
like,
so they were trying to put... He was trying to put a holo something up in there.
Yeah, as like a prank. It says at the bottom of 213, Surge accessed the bridge systems on the Legacy Run just before the accident. He was playing a prank, nothing serious. But as part of that, he sliced into the screens, and when he did, he got a glimpse of whatever they ran into out there that caused the ship to disintegrate.
Makes sense now. I was very confused both times.
I am actually now more confused.
Why are you more confused?
How are you less confused?
Because I did not realize that the bridge was where the captain was, where they were controlling the whole ship.
Oh, so he saw the bridge?
He had somehow, when he like sliced into the, what did it say? He sliced into...
The bridge systems.
The bridge system. Where is this at? What page?
Bottom of page 213.
Sliced into the screens. Okay, so that's telling me that, like, he could see what was happening in the bridge. So basically, he could see out the viewport into hyperspace.
Hmm. Okay.
So are you less confused now?
I mean, I guess. That's just
worded. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
There's a lot of things in this book that I'm finding that are worded weirdly. And it's like my only complaint with this book. Like, I hate pitting books against each other, but like with The Rising Storm, for example, it's just smooth. It's
different writing styles.
I know.
So sorry. So does this holo screen, does it have like, is it like a camera to us?
See, that's what I'm confused
because
about.
Because honestly, what did we watch today? The new Space Jam movie.
Oh.
And it made me think of, Algorithm looking in the cameras, you know, the fax machines, pretty much anything. And I was like, is that how he saw
it? What does the Porky Pig say? He says, you got no rhythm. How is your name Rhythm if you can't stay on beat or something? Anyway, pretty cool. Anyway, there's a Serge tells Buryaga about this thing, and Buryaga's trying to explain it to his master, Nib Askeek. Anyway.
That sounded more like a SpongeBob thing.
No, this is Patrick.
Oh, daring are we today. That was terrible.
What was that even from?
Squidward. That's when he's ordering something. He's like, Squidward.
No, you gotta plug your nose.
Squidward.
Yeah, that was better. Is that? Today. I wonder if that's how the voice actor for Squidward actually like voiced him.
Well, I don't know. The guy for SpongeBob was like,
yeah, I can't do it. We're anyway, talking about Star
anyway,
Wars.
Anyway, Nib Asik. it's the Chewbacca scene in the Force Awakens where he's like, oh, you must have been very brave. And she's like, what are you talking about? And it's like, Buryaga tells me you're very brave.
See, is that what she was doing? Because I thought she was just being facetious.
That is facetious. That's what I'm...
But like, did she understand what he was saying?
Yes, but not, he had to like explain it more to her. It's like, because she was like, Buryaga tells me you're very brave. Serge didn't answer. He also tells me you saw something when you sliced into the legacy run system. So like, she says something, it's like, that's fascinating, Nib said, purposefully avoiding looking at Serge as to not spook him. So like, that's the sense I got. That's probably wrong.
wrong.
Oh, you're very brave. So with that being said, I do think we, how many emergences? It notes
21.
How many did we have last time?
Give me 1 second. I can tell you.
I looked in the chapter, but I could not find it. But while you're doing that, we do have a reference of Dantooine in this book.
Dantooine
is in the midroom. Right, it's got to be. I mean, let me Google this real fast.
No, remember, because if you remember, A New
Outer
Hope,
Rim.
Yeah, it's way
it's
far
in
too
Dantooine.
Off.
Dantooine's far too remote to make an effective demonstration. Yeah. Okay, Dantooine is in the Outer Rim sector, Ra'al-Balo system, Dantooine system. So that's Dantooine. Voila, bon apple titty. There's also a Membanees, and a Membanees is, I think, Maz Kanata.
Oh, is it?
They look similar, so I'm not going to commit to it right now, but it is not. But I did learn that she's force sensitive, obviously. Wikipedia confirms it. Anyway, a Membanees. Oh, I spelt it wrong because it's giving me bean base. Anyway, it's a bird-looking creature with big eyes, but he's really red, but he's not a bird. But it kind of looks. He's got like a bird face. He's in Solo. I know that. He's like I think he's like a throw-to-the-side character with, maybe. I don't remember. Does he have any appearances? See, this is what happens when we don't do our homework. Appearances, Solo, cool. Oh, also, High Republic, Light of the Jedi, and Rise of Kylo Ren. Also in The Mandalorian, Chapter 9, The Marshal, and Chapter 12, The Siege. What do you know? So, I did note that species.
So, hang on, go back to the whole thing with Dantooine. What was the mention of Dantooine in this chapter?
It is, let me go back up. It says, but it, at the bottom of page 207, it says, but it discussed the emergences too, current count 21, and one of those last had caused destruction of an orbital shipping facility over Dantooine that was coordinating a massive aid shipment to the increasingly beleaguered systems of the Outer Rim territory.
Okay, so the last few must have been in Dantooine, because the last mention that I can find of the count for an emergence was chapter 20. And it was the 18th emergence near Dantooine, it had...
So is Dantooine getting gangbanged?
Pretty much. That's my understanding. Like, it doesn't go into much of anything else other than the 18th was near Dantooine.
Damn. Okay, so awesome. Also, at the bottom of page 208, we do get some Buryaga lightsaber stuff. It says, Buryaga sighed and stepped forward, adjusting his sash. Polished weight of the lightsaber hilt, a comfort in its holster at his side. Yes, a holster. This lightsaber has a holster. Think about it.
Like, that doesn't make sense.
It does, because in the Visions show that's coming up, there's an episode with a samurai that has a hilt. And that same short is also going to have the book called Ronin in it. Del Rey has sworn that it makes sense.
Okay, so that's interesting.
I don't know, because I was reading it and I was like, a holster.
So it makes me think. So is it? Does it say specifically, like, if it's on a certain part of his body, side?
No, at his side.
At his side. So it would just like, let me back up so I can show you what I'm talking about. Makes me think like a gun holster, and he's like,
Jesus, you had to stomp that loud?
Did I stomp?
Yes.
3-5-0-4.
And it says, it's shown just as brightly as Nib's. Though, why is Nib an alien? Well, she is an alien, but...
We're all aliens.
Though his was fashioned from an amber of white rochere tree from the Wookiee homeworld of Kashyyyk with the broad crosspiece in electrum. I recommend looking up his lightsaber. It looks really cool. Not that he expected to use his weapon in this place, but advance into battle felt pretty accurate. So... these lightsabers in the High Republic are the best looking lightsabers ever.
Like, Nibaseek is a human.
Oh, that's right.
Remember, because Tayami is the Duro.
Then why have we been making fun of... anyway.
What are we making fun of?
Nib being an alien, because it was like... Whoa, whoa,
whoa, whoa. No, I've been making fun of Chewbacca. Not Chewbacca.
Wow.
Buryaga.
More than one Wookiee.
The Wookiee, because I can't do this out. I've been trying to... I can't... Yeah, see, I can't do that.
Anyway.
That was my interpretation of a Wookiee. That's the sad thing. So like I've been doing farm animal sounds all day. Those fainting goats.
Anyway, the High Republic lightsabers are really dope. Really like Stellan Geos's. Ty York also has a really cool, like... Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that. What's her face from Test of Courage with the first Whiplash one?
Yes, the same Whiplash, because I just read Bane, Path of Destruction. What's her name? I hated her so much. It's the female with the boobs. Yep. I'm going to say...
Oh, I'm talking about Test of Courage.
Yeah, and I'm talking about Vernestra's lightsaber is inspired by...
See, I couldn't remember her name was Vernestra.
Gamethy.
I kept thinking Veruca Salt, but that's
anyway, Willy Wonka. The most uninteresting female character in Star Wars I've ever seen. Githany, because she had a lightsaber whip too.
Oh, his lightsaber is dope. Buryaga's.
Yeah, so is Elzar, so is Ty York.
It's very long, elongated. Does look like a sword.
So to be fair, he is a Wookiee. So what are your big notes from this chapter?
Not really big notes. I mean, I feel like this was a very slow chapter.
Damn, okay.
What? It really was, and I was... Even when I was listening to the audiobook.
Yeah, the audiobook is slow. Because this is a 30-minute long chapter.
Audiobook, it's very...
going a time and a quarter, I think.
Yeah, and it just completely, honestly took me out. Because it was just another one of those chapters for the characters to catch up with what we already know.
Yeah, I read the same paragraph for like an hour.
Yeah, like,
and
I don't know. We could have done without it, honestly. I don't know. There could have been like a two-sentence way to say what we already knew, or gone about it a different way. I just felt like it dragged on.
Okay. One note, and then we'll go into a segment at the bottom of page 206. It does mention that the Panacea is a giant medical aid ship that they are on, and it's one of Chancellor So's earliest great works. I mentioned that the High Republic is like the Renaissance of the Jedi. Well, here's a literal allusion to that. So, there we go. Okay, let's do our little segment. What is the purpose of this chapter?
To have the characters catch up with what we already know.
Well, what was learned in this chapter?
Something we already knew. What was learned was the fact that it was just absolutely confirmed. It was confirmed the fact that there were three lightning strikes that went in front of the Legacy Run. And once the Jedi finally put everything together in the long run, they'll be like, oh, it was the Nihil's fault that all of this happened.
Yeah. But us as the reader, we're like, that could never be. That would be too predictable.
To have lightning strikes?
To have the Nihil be responsible for it. It couldn't just be a natural occurrence, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't make sense, because the only time...
And then Markion at the very last page is like, it was my fault.
Well, the only times that we see red in hyperspace, there's only one other instance that I can think of, and we actually see it. It's in Rebels.
I was thinking of the Rise of Skywalker. The big red mass.
Big red mass.
That Kylo Ren flies through with the Wayfinder.
Yes and no. That, I don't know. More as we go through everything chronologically more in depth, maybe that's going to go towards like the whole light speed skipping and like paths.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is the only other time that we have in a book or in a show seen it is in Rebels, when the Empire has this technology that can pull you out of hyperspace.
Lippity space.
Hyperspace.
Yeah.
But you know, that's the only time it turned red that I can think of off of the top of my head. So.
Okay.
I don't know. I originally thought back in chapter one when we saw Hedda Kassett talking about how it looked like hyperspace was sick, I didn't really think that the cause of it would be another ship flying through. I felt like there was going to be something else, like, more in depth. But then if you look at the way that Mari Santeca goes through space, it's kind of in a sick manner. So
it makes sense.
I mean, like, it makes unnatural sense. Yeah, it's unnatural, but it's just not what I had in mind at all.
Like, in my mind, the Nihil using hyperspace that way, I'm surprised they haven't just taken over all the Outer Rim.
Yeah. Like
it's batshit that they're just like Mad Maxing over here.
Well, and you know, Markion does talk about how he wants something different for the Nihil, and so maybe this is the start of it.
Oh yeah, it's something that his father envisioned, or according to his father.
Right.
But yeah, in my opinion, I think the purpose of this chapter was to establish what Serge saw in hyperspace. And, you know, of course you're not just going to do that as a throwaway chapter. You have to have some character development, and we get a lot of Buriaga character development here. Very efficient in this chapter, albeit slow. It's very efficient. You know that he's incredibly anxious. He doesn't like being in social situations. He doesn't really like talking to people. Instead,
hey, same.
And instead of him calming himself, he's more concerned with calming the people around him.
Right.
Like, he's a calming presence, but him as himself is not very calm.
So what's with Jedi and the High Republic having like an extreme emotional connection to the Force? Because we also have in Test of Courage, we have Emery.
Yeah.
Who's very into And I mean, if you want to stretch it, even Elzar Man can like.
Yes, very much so, Elzar, as we get into the Rising Storm.
Really?
Yes.
Oh,
yes. Be cautiously optimistic, but yes, Elzar. But not only that, there are some things with the Force and being in touch with the Force that happen in the Rising Storm that, I mean, that I won't talk about. But
Well, thanks, I appreciate it.
The stuff in the High Republic when it comes to Force-sensitive individuals and some of the things they go through, some of the things they have to do are really fascinating and really incredible because here they're so in touch with the Force because they're fully invested and they give themselves to the Force 100%. They might not agree necessarily with the way one does something down the line or something like that, but the goal is always to be in tune with the Force as much as possible. So despite them being maybe contrarian about some things, the conclusion's always the same. The Force over everything. Listen to the living Force. Don't question the Force. You know, kind of like Anakin, you know, he has a premonition. His idea is to control it. Qui-Gon is just to listen to the living Force. Like in The Phantom Menace, he probably knew he was going to die. But he listened to the living Force and probably knew that his sacrifice would get Anakin trained in front of the council.
Oh.
You see, so like, that's what I feel like the High Republic Jedi are.
Okay.
Do you have anything specifically to add to this chapter?
No, like I said, I was very honestly bored with this chapter.
I read the same paragraph for an hour, I tell you.
So, I mean, the rest of the book does get much more interesting after this.
You keep going back and forth, Delphrana.
Yes, we do.
Yes.
It's so, about to get intense.
So with that being said, let's head on over to our book club.
The Sacred Jedi Tech!
The Sacred Jedi Tech!
Read them, have you? Page turners. They were not. We have one comment from Jedi Master Garrick. He says, Buryaga. I love that there's a Wookiee Jedi Padawan. This is the sweetest chapter so far. His awkwardness, hunger, and heart are the stars of this chapter. His master, Nib Essick, seems pretty cool too. And it was a great passage. And I quote, Buryaga reached out and folded the boy up in his embrace. He couldn't understand why anyone hadn't done this already. When someone was hurting you, did what you could do to heal them. When someone was lost, you found them, end quote. Amazing writing, and we learn a little bit more about the Legacy Run disaster and Buryaga. Yeah, I agree. I wish I could look at things through your lens because I'm like, eh, this was a pretty boring chapter. And you're like, but look at the character development.
Look how sweet it is. So, because I don't see it that way.
But, I mean, you know, it is what it is. So, we appreciate the comment, Garrett.
Yes, we do.
You have anything to add to that?
I do not.
All right. So with that being said, you can follow us over on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and YouTube at Wayfinder Pod. Go do that. Like, subscribe, do all that lame stuff. What else? That's it, I guess.
I mean, you can head over to our Etsy page or our Teespring.
Yes.
Teespring page. Check out some merch that we have. Hopefully by the time y'all are hearing this, we have more stuff out for you.
Yep. So, we are all the Republic.
Ride the storm.
Ride the storm.